Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
When somebody describes something as being in the shape of a football, we in the modern era know exactly what shape that is. Well, the football shape has not always been the shape of what we know as a football. It's evolved over time and gone through quite a few different ages. And we're going to talk about that in this story coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of Pigskin Dispatch. Welcome to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to go back in time and look at a very common item to the game of football. How about the football itself? Its evolution. And where did it start from and what shapes did it come in? The predecessors of the football. Now, I've got some interesting facts on how the ball actually came and changed over time. Now, we learned in the PigskinDispatch.com football history articles that the ancient Greeks and Romans played games that American football eventually shot off from. In the Greek epic Odessa, the daughter of King Akinos, Nausicaa, I think is how you say it, Nausicaa, almost like nausea, was found playing a ball game with her servants on the beach. Thereafter, the king's sons, Laodamas and Helios, started to play in honor of Odysseus. The first one threw a giant purple ball with both hands, while the second caught it while it was in the air. Now, we may never know the exact size of this ball, but one could assume that using the word giant must take it to near a beach ball size. The ancient Spartan warriors later evolved the game written in this epic to their own training game called Episcuros. The ball as in this game was about the size of a modern soccer ball. Now, FIFA rules deem that the regulation soccer ball is a round sphere about 8.65 inches in diameter. So later in history, the Romans played a similar game which they called harpistum. The harpistum was known as the small ball game. It had a similar objectives to its Greek predecessor, but it used a ball about the same size and hardness of a modern softball in its early beginnings. Now, the ASA tells us the modern regulation softball is a round sphere 11 to 12 inches in circumference. Eventually, the harpistum ball changed in size and hardness as soon as it was made from a stitched leather skin and stuffed with chopped sponges or animal fur, and eventually measured about 8 inches in diameter. This led to the evolution of the soccer ball, which we already stated is about 8.65 inches in diameter. And then that led to the school of rugby in England to start playing the quad game that eventually took the name of the school that it was first played in. And according to rugbyfootballhistory.com, a couple of men associated with this rugby game, because they lived near the playing fields, Richard Lyndon and William Gilbert, started making the balls for sport. Since the men were the owners of a shoemaking business, the original balls were made of 4 leather hand-stitched panels sewn over an inflated pig's bladder. The pig's bladder gave the ball its distinctive shape, which they described by sight as being more of a plum shape than an oval. Before a match, volunteers were reported to be recruited to take the undesirable task of inflating the ball. Not a job for the faint of heart, as the pig's bladder would be in the pungent green state, as it would be inflated by air directly from the mouth of its inflator. How would you like to have that? Sucking on some rotting pig flesh intestines. Well, It's known that of written sizes of these early balls, very, very little is known of it. But in 1892, the official size of the ball was recorded to be in length of 11 to 11 and a quarter inches, with a circumference end to end of 30 to 31 inches and a width circumference of 25 and a half to 26 inches. Total weight was to be about 12 to 13 ounces, and the hand sewn with no more than 8 stitches per joint. Got to be that exact. We know from historic records, written down by Park H. Davis, that the early versions of American football bounced back and forth between a round soccer ball and a rugby ball, depending on where the game was played and what rules were used. The bladder evolved into a rubber bladder about the time the Rutgers-Princeton game of 1869 for the round soccer-style ball used it, but it required a human mouth to directly inflate it. Reports from the second Rutgers-Princeton game shows that the contest was stopped multiple times in order for the players to take turns to reinflate the deflated ball. The procedure was arduous, as the ball would have to be unlaced to expose the bladder, and then a key would have to be brought in to unlock a small nozzle to inflate the ball. And according to an article on popularmechanics.com, early manufacturers struggled for many years in keeping the balls inflated, and the ball's round shape made it difficult to throw under game conditions. Now, the ball was not an oval, but it was supposed to be completely round. It never was. It was hard to blow up right. The game was stopped several times that day, and the teams were called for a little key from the sidelines. They used it to unlock the small nozzle, which was tucked under the ball, and they took turns blowing it up. The last man generally got tired, and they put it back into play somewhat lopsided. This could be the reason that the ball is shaped so oddly to this day? Possibly could. The article from the site also says that in 1886, Peck and Snyder Sporting Goods catalog offered a syringe-style device aptly named the New Patent Football Inflator, which allowed footballs to be fully inflated in under 5 minutes as opposed to nearly a half hour by blowing via somebody's mouth. In 1874, the famous Harvard-McGill games, the ball was more of a watermelon shape and still a difficult shape to throw under duress. But the pitches and flips became prevalent in the game, which were conducive to the ball's size and awkward shape. The ball stayed about the same size and shape until 1912. And bear in mind that forward pass came in about 1906 legally, 1912, when it became more popular. Now, 1920 brought in the era of pre-laced footballs, whereas the unlacing of the balls was not required anymore for inflation because a stem similar to a tire was connected to the interior bladder but caused a lump under the laces. In 1924, Wilson Sporting Goods, with the assistance of Notre Dame coach Newt Rockne, presented a double-lined football which eliminated the stem and started a dramatic shape change of the ball for easier throwing. Then came 1935, where the NFL shortened its ball to a short axis between 21 and a quarter to 21 and a half inches. And the ball's length was shortened that year to between 11 and 11 and a quarter inches, and the amount of air that it could hold was set to be 12 and a half to 13 and a half PSI. Its long axis of 28 to 28 and a half inches, however, did not change. And these dimensions remain today, as does the ball's shape, which has been called the prolate spheroid since 1890. The ball and the rules may have changed over time, but the fun and the integrity had by players and fans has had its core the whole time. And football's attraction to the masses keeps growing even to this day. So that's quite an evolution of the ball, and it sort of takes you on a real good history trip through the evolution of football itself. The evolution of the football brings you the evolution of football. Very interesting indeed. So we hope you enjoyed this great little bit of history that we have posted also on pigskindispatch.com. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, we'd love to hear it. pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Again, you can follow us on Twitter @pigskindispatch. Facebook, we have the Pigskin Dispatch page. And don't forget to check us out over on the Sports History Dispatch podcast. We have that going multiple times a week as well. And jerseydispatch.com. and OrvilleMulligan.com, where I have teamed up with Oz Davis. We've made Number 80 Productions for a great sports history audio drama that I think you are sure to enjoy, taking place in the 1920s era. Just a great time for sports. I think you're really going to love our characters and really love the real history that they are a part of in there. Capture some great history in there. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.